Time for some basketball talk, and to do that, we welcome in John Corrales from Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Good afternoon there, John.
Good afternoon to you too, sir. How are you?
Wonderful. Are you enjoying a beautiful spring day like we are?
Yep. It's perfect shorts and hoodie weather. Once it hits 60 in New England, that's the formula.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like that very much. I'm with you completely on that. Well, much to talk about this afternoon. We'll get to the game, the last time the Celtics played, but let's talk about what I guess was the bigger story of the day, the return of KG, and what an entertaining ceremony.
Yeah, KG's a piece of work, isn't he? the whole ceremony was pure KG. From him and in his colorful way of addressing people, the people who were there, the ceremony was appropriately short. We didn't get too much from anybody. We didn't get the whole 2018 coming out and saying this. Like, it was basically Mike Gorman getting things going. Paul Pierce said a few things, an interview with KG, and we're out of here. And then I think it was kind of perfect the way it was, not dragged out. So it was a great night, and obviously, I know you're going to want to talk about Ray Allen, and that moment where they embraced was really great.
It had been a long time coming, and I wonder, I don't know if it meant as much to them as it did to the fans, but it was great to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time, like you said, and I think it's time to get over it. But I'm coming at this from, like, I never felt that animosity towards Ray Allen. I always came at it from, you know, they were ready to trade Ray anyway. So he made a decision. Now, the way he left is totally understandable. I get why people were upset and all of that stuff. But with the full picture, the full context of the Celtics were going to trade him anyway, and they were asking him to come off the bench, and he wanted to do things on his own terms. He felt like he'd earned that. So he left. And so I never had the level of animosity that Kevin Garnett did, for sure, and some fans did. So I'm glad that, you know, by KG doing what he did and saying what he said and saying, you're next, I think it was a great signal to Celtics fans that I think now the majority of Celtics fans, knowing that not everybody, there's somebody who's listening in the car yelling at the radio right now saying, nope, never, sorry, John. But most fans, I think, can say, all right, if KG's over it, then I can get over it.
Yeah, absolutely. As for the game itself, well, we've seen this one a few times before. The Celtics let one slip away against the Mavs.
Yeah, you know, the shots weren't falling. And I think, so we had the early season of nothing was going right. And then we had the recovery of everything was going right. I think we're starting to see just a little bit of return to the middle of, okay, this is how the Celtics are going to have to, this is what the Celtics are, generally speaking. They're going to be a team that will struggle to shoot sometimes. Their defense is good, but if it's not great, then they may struggle to outscore teams. And that's what I think happened in this game. When the shots weren't falling, they held Dallas to 95 points, but I still think that the defense was slow on some of the rotations. As Ime Udoka said afterwards, they were a little too low on some of the pickup points for when the bigs switched out into guards. And so that allowed, like, a Dorian Finney-Smith to go off and allowed Jalen Brunson to get too open when he was getting shots. So that'll burn you. You do a decent job on Luka Doncic and the other guys end up burning you. So the Celtics are, they have the potential to be a really, really good team, but they can't have those little defensive slip-ups, and they certainly have to find a way to get more shooting, and especially off the bench. Derek White and Grant Williams were not great as far as shooting the ball, so that all adds up to a tough loss.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown Golden State tomorrow night, and it's the start of a Western swing of four games. This could be a pretty important trip for them.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Golden State, who has Draymond Green back now, and he is the absolute key to everything that they do. If you lose that game, the Sacramento game is not a gimme. De'Aaron Fox has been great since the trade deadline, so you have the potential of a guy going off for 30-plus and raising his team, and if the Celtics don't take that game seriously, that could be a dogfight. Denver's always tough in Denver. So you have three really tough games before Oklahoma City, who is aggressively trying to lose games. So you should win that one. But this is going to be a tough challenge. The Celtics' defense has slipped, like I said, just a tiny bit, and they have to get that back to the elite level that you know, in March, I think they're the seventh best defense. They have to get back up to the top one or two to give themselves the best chance to win. They got to clean that stuff up. Chasing Steph Curry around screens is going to be a pain, and that's going to be very difficult to do. You have to account for Klay Thompson now tomorrow night. And like I said, Draymond, he's going to be the key of them, not only defensively, but distributing. He had six assists in his return off the bench. Five of them went to Klay and Steph Curry, and four of them were for three-pointers. So that's going to be a tough task for the Celtics.
As you said at Boston Sports Journal, though, the Celtics get up for these games. They play well against competition like this, and maybe nobody better than Jason Tatum, who really loves these showdowns.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Tatum and Steph Curry have had their duels before. And so I think going up against the elite certainly brings out the best. And that's true of every team. I mean, I don't think the Celtics are alone in getting up for big games and kind of playing down to bad competition. I think that's just kind of standard NBA fare, especially at the end of the season. So this will be an important one to get, because they've had 2 days off. Get to Golden State. This is a national TV game, you know, up against Steph and Dre and Klay. And so I think everybody on this team is going to be hyped up, and this should be a good one. They need to get this one. They need to get the one against Sacramento. They need to get the one against OKC. 3-1 would be a great road trip, especially the way everything's bunched up right now. And then you can say, all right, you get those three, you lose to Denver, that's acceptable. But they need to get one of those two against Golden State and Denver. And I think Golden State's the one to target.
They've been bouncing back and forth right around that 4-5 spot for a while. How important would it be for them to avoid that situation where they would have to play a Miami in the second round?
Yeah, I think you know, first of all, there's so much that's going on with the East. Like, they're jockeying for position that, you know, you want to hopefully get one of those, like, Cleveland, Chicago type of roads to, you know, through the playoffs. Avoiding Miami in the second round would be great. And the thing is, you're not only avoiding Miami, there's the potential that it's going to be Miami versus Brooklyn. And so you might be avoiding Brooklyn in the second round. This is not going to be a typical seeding. Like, this is going to be unlike anything we've seen before, because the best team in the East may not be in the number one seed. The best team in the East might be coming out of the play-in tournament. And so the Celtics, I think, would love to be in a spot where they get that third seed and just kind of let everyone else like go through this war of attrition, and you just take the last team standing. Like, that, I think, would be the best case scenario for them.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, thanks as always. We will catch up with you again next Tuesday.
My pleasure. I'll talk to you then.